When President Trump declared the opioid epidemic a public health emergency, he pointed a finger directly at Mexico.
An astonishing 90% of the heroin in America comes from south of the border, where we will be building a wall, which will greatly help in this problem.
But the truth is that the opioid epidemic started here in the U.S. Back in 1995, a family-owned company called Purdue Pharma in Stamford, Connecticut, started selling a painkiller called OxyContin. People started to get hooked on it. The family that owns the company is called the Sacklers. Patrick Radden Keefe writes about them in a recent article for The New Yorker. It's called "The Family That Built an Empire of Pain."
This is one of the richest families in the country. According to Forbes, they're worth some $13 or $14 billion. And they're pretty well known for philanthropy, for giving money to museums and universities, to hospitals, and often putting their name on the things that they give money to. So there's a Sackler wing at the Metropolitan Museum. There's a Sackler wing at the Louvre. And the one thing that you don't tend to see their name on is the family business, which is Purdue Pharma, which has generated really the vast bulk of the wealth of this family over the last few decades.
What is the evidence that Purdue Pharma and certain members of the Sackler family knew of the addictive qualities of OxyContin from the start?
Well, when OxyContin was initially marketed, this interesting thing happened, which was that doctors up to that point had been quite reluctant to prescribe strong opioids to patients other than people who were suffering from cancer pain or end-of-life palliative care situations because they worried that these drugs are addictive. So what Purdue set out to do was launch a campaign to change the minds of American doctors about how dangerous these drugs were. And they were tremendously successful in essentially saying, hey, listen, you don't need to worry. In fact, rates of addiction are very, very low. Now, the truth is they didn't know that. They hadn't actually done any studies on how addictive OxyContin was. And what they had done studies on was how frequently they should dose this drug. So when OxyContin was sold initially, the whole idea was you only had to take it twice a day. It was so strong that if you took two pills over the course of 24 hours, that would be enough. But in fact, we now know from documents that have come out through litigation that within Purdue, from the very beginning, they knew that if you gave people in these studies a dose of OxyContin, that before the 12-hour mark, a lot of people started going into withdrawal or feeling their pain coming back and wanting another pill. And the danger there is in a situation in which you're dosing something at 12 hours, but in fact, people want it more frequently. That's a real recipe for addiction.
One of the things that you talk about in your piece is how the increase in the prescription of opioids ended up leading to an increase in the use of heroin here in the U.S. What's the link?
Well, this is one of the fascinating aspects to me of Trump bringing up Mexico the other day. It is absolutely true that we have a huge heroin problem in this country. But it's also true that studies have been conducted indicating that 4 out of 5 people who start using heroin today originally were abusing painkillers. So you have this situation in which Purdue and other companies were very successful in persuading doctors to prescribe lots and lots of opioids across the country. So once you have so many people using and becoming dependent, they're going to become addicted and often need to keep serving that habit. And this is where heroin comes in, is that at a certain point, some people aren't able to get a prescription from a doctor. And heroin is a cheap substitute, which is very available. And so what you see is a lot of people who probably wouldn't have started out taking heroin themselves, but who kind of graduated to heroin through the gateway drug of prescription painkillers administered by a doctor.
One thing that's puzzling is, if we know all this now and there's this huge crisis, why is OxyContin still on the market?
Look, there are lots of people who are in terrible pain and are prescribed OxyContin by a doctor and to whom it brings great relief. Anytime there are efforts to limit the distribution of these drugs, pain patients will get quite concerned, and also lobby groups supported by the pharmaceutical industry get very agitated. So there's great power in Washington, I think, advocating for these drugs. But we've seen in recent years that there has been a little bit of a swing back among doctors who are realizing that there are so many problems and that there's a kind of tightening up that's going on. One fascinating aspect of this in terms of the Sackler family, though, is what they have quietly been doing as that happened and as they saw their sales plateau for OxyContin in the United States is beginning to look abroad and look to the developing world, to look to Latin America and Asia and start really pushing OxyContin in other countries and using the whole playbook in terms of the marketing that they had used when they originally released OxyContin here in the United States back in the 1990s.
And what does that look like, say, in a place like Mexico or Brazil or China? What are they actually doing to persuade doctors that these are safe drugs?
Well, the first thing you do is you come in with studies, which often you have funded, which say that there's very, very large numbers of people suffering from untreated chronic pain. So in Mexico, for instance, Mundi Pharma, which is the Sackler-owned company related to Purdue that sells OxyContin, went into Mexico and said, we've got this study. It looks like a quarter of the population of Mexico is actually suffering from untreated chronic pain. And we have the answer. It's this little pill. And then they pay doctors to go out and give talks to endorse OxyContin, to talk about the treatment of pain, and to suggest that these strong opioids are maybe not as dangerous as people have heard.
There's some really chilling little anecdotes in your article. One of them is that the general counsel for Purdue Pharma, he had a secretary who became addicted to OxyContin.
Yes, that was something I discovered as I was doing this research for the piece. And part of what was shocking to me about that particular anecdote is that this was a guy, the general counsel, who at that time had really been going out and making the public case that the drug wasn't dangerous. And privately, inside Purdue, it was known that this particular woman had developed a real problem, and she was subsequently let go by the company.
Did you talk to any Sackler family members who were kind of felt guilty or felt concerned over what has happened with this drug?
Well, this was one of the big mysteries for me in doing this story, is I earnestly believed that some of the Sacklers would end up talking to me. You have three generations associated with the two brothers who owned Purdue Pharma. And that includes young people who are filmmakers and philanthropists. They've all gotten very good educations. There's no way they don't know about the opioid epidemic. And there's no way they don't realize that there is some linkage between the behavior of the company that has generated great wealth for them and where we are today. I thought that they might have a story to tell about how they'd been misunderstood, about how there were perhaps unintended consequences of the original rollout of the drug, but they said nothing. They were unified in their silence. They didn't even issue a statement.
You write something chilling towards the end of your article, linking the length of your article to the opioid epidemic. Can you repeat that?
I was just struck by the numbers and trying to think of a way to convey how significant it is. And it's quite a long article, it must be said. But assuming that it would take about an hour to read the piece, I said that if the current statistics are anything to go by, six Americans have died of a fatal opioid overdose in the time it's taken you to read this article.
Patrick Radden Keefe's New Yorker article is called The Family That Built an Empire of Pain. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.